Hi, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically, we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Alex, and they never get the nose right.
I'm Kat, and I have a lot of feelings about children in towers.
I'm Brendan, and Maximus is my animal companion.
And I'm Pippin, and I have a dream.
Ooh.
Yeah, you fuckers.
Did you dream a dream the other night?
I dreamed a dream of times gone by.
There you go.
Today, we're talking about the 2010 movie Tangled, so spoilers abound. If you want specific content warnings about things we may talk about, check out the show notes on nostorysacred.com. For those of you who've never watched Tangle, the summary, according to Google, is: beautiful Princess Rapunzel has been locked away in a tower since she was captured as a baby by an old hag. Her magical, long blonde hair has the power to provide eternal youth, and the evil Gothel uses this power to keep her young. At the age of 18, Rapunzel becomes curious about the outside world, and when a prince...
Keep going.
Air quotes.
And when a prince uses her tower as a refuge, she asks him to help her escape. Okay, first of all,
strong until the end.
Yeah, Google, whoever writes the summary there, I mean, check your algorithms, man.
I mean, for one thing, it's not a prince, and for another, she doesn't really ask him to help her escape.
Nope.
No, so much as consigns him. Or-
Threatens him?
Blunt force trauma.
Really, when the, what's the name of the kingdom?
I don't know.
When the kingdom starts going into naval warfare against Arendelle, she's going to be great at oppressing sailors.
Wow, so you're bringing in the deep frozen theories here.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Getting that on the start.
They went to the coronation.
And therefore, she was there when it fucked up.
All I want now is Frozen from the point of view of Rapunzel and Flynn in the palace going, well, this isn't our problem.
Is this what it looks like from the outside? Weird.
Should we do something?
Well, and like, I would love it if, you know, what's it? What's her name? Is her name actually Rapunzel in this? Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Rapunzel's parents, if they, you know, had whispered conversations with each other about those other parents and how they do not treat their magical child well at all.
At least we didn't lose our magical child.
Oh.
That's some shit, yo.
Oh.
Right. So,
dark.
So let's actually talk about the story here.
What?
Yeah. I think we owe it to ourselves to talk about it before we go into total fan wonkery.
But I love fan wonkery.
I know.
Half of this show here is fan wonkery.
Well, yes. But let's just kind of do broad strokes of the story before we kind of start playing with it, right?
Yeah.
Know the structure before we take it apart.
Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah. So I guess thinking about, like, act one and the setup of it all, we basically have a magical baby, right?
Yeah. In the beginning starts with a voiceover by Flynn. Going, this is the story of how I died. I'm like, okay.
Sure, buddy.
and then he literally says, but this isn't my story. It's Rapunzel's. And I'm like, then why the fuck are you the one telling it, Flynn Rider?
Listen to my story.
Oh, really?
This is my story.
Yes. But like, they establish, like, in this backstory that the sun dropped some magical power onto the earth, right?
Yeah.
Did they? I thought it was just like magic flower, yo.
Yeah, I just thought there was like a random magic flower.
There was a drop of sunlight that bloomed into a flower. That's why.
That explains all the sun imagery.
Yes.
Wow, Pip.
Fuck off.
And so a blooming flower all kind of looks like, you know, that the depiction of the sun.
Yes. And I think, like, we have clearly, like, a witch of the woods using it for eternal youth, right?
Classic.
Eternal youth is, yeah, old, old trope, but the queen of the kingdom is pregnant and sick.
She is dying.
Well, I mean, frankly, she's a medieval woman who's pregnant. I mean, dying is a 75-80% chance anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every pregnancy is a high-risk pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's just a Tuesday.
Yeah.
But when you're queen...
Oh, yeah.
Shit gets done. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's pick the magic flower that the evil hag was raising and feed it to the queen. Problem solved. Weird that the baby has blonde hair and the parents are both brunettes. Nobody thought to question.
Medieval times, they did not have genetics.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's pseudo-medieval, but we're going to go with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had the mother's eyes. It's fine.
That's true.
Call the royal geneticist.
Hello, sir.
Good geneticist voice. Good geneticist voice.
Thank you. I've been practicing. And yeah, the witch of the woods there, was it Madame...
Gothel.
Madame Gothel kidnaps a baby.
Like you do.
I mean, it was her flower.
Oh... my little flower.
Here's a question. Mm. How did they know about the flower if she had already been hiding it?
She has been around for a very long time. People talk folklore. Moving on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I said it.
Legit.
Folk fucking process.
I mean, Madame Guffel herself may have been, you know, spreading the tale a little bit. Bragging. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Local bar, I found this badass flower.
Wait, is she Madame Gothel or is she Mother Gothel?
Mother Gothel.
Mother Gothel. Yeah.
Let's get her evilness correct here.
Of course, yes.
All right, onwards.
And so we do a time jump to 18 years later. Yeah.
Whoa!
Well, almost 18.
Yes. And it is like the day before Rapunzel's birthday.
Yep.
And 18 years later, she is at the top of a tower, y'all. I know we're all surprised.
Weird.
She's been out there for 18 years, and she is bored as fuck.
Yep.
We have a whole song
about
it. She
does her daily chores. She paints. She does more chores. She rereads books. And there's not a ton for her to do.
Really, Belle has nothing on her I want more song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, every single year, weirdly on her birthday... a lot of stars come out. It's really cool.
She has been practicing amateur astronomy, so, you know.
Because she's got all this time.
Yeah,
she's
seriously.
Not doing anything else.
I'm just astonished she didn't bother turning her mind toward, I don't know, genetics.
Her one need, right, is I need to go and see what the source of this phenomena is, right? And also get the hell out of
town. She is a scientist. But we have all been scientists now and again.
I'm very into science these days.
And I think at this point, or maybe just beforehand, we're also introduced to the other leads.
Yeah.
The lizard? Or do you mean Flynn?
Flynn Rider.
A.K.A. Eugene.
Aww.
Eugene Fitz something. Fitzherbert? Fitzherbert.
Fitzherbert, yeah. Who is... a thief. I almost think he's kind of a Nathan Drake wannabe, but whatever.
Trying very hard to be the lovable rogue.
Yes. I thought he did a good job being a lovable rogue, but, you know,
but
hey.
He's obviously trying at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not good at, like, doing too much.
Effortless roguishness.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he did steal that crown.
True.
With the help of two other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's got charisma for days.
Though not enough to not get whacked in the fucking face with a frying pan.
True.
Several times.
Multiple times.
Can I just say that this whole movie wouldn't have happened if Flynn hadn't been a dumbass and talked to the guard before being pulled back up through the ceiling?
Oh my god, you're right.
He had to have some sport in it.
Exactly.
He was trying to be the lovable rogue.
Yep.
Also, it was probably a good excuse for him to separate from the other two guys.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It could have been his master cunning rogue plan to have them be captured. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
And then not to split the bounty.
Brilliant. And then, of course, we're also introduced to another main character.
Pascal Maximus. The lizard.
Yes.
Maximus the horse. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to
yeah.
capture him. I will say Maximus, main character.
That's because Maximus acts like a dog and you have a strange bias.
Well, and Maximus, he comes into play in an important way later on.
Sure, sure. But you like him so much because he acts like a dog.
Maybe.
Yeah, I see you.
So roguish misadventures with a tiara happen, and Flynn ends up at the Rapunzel Tower, like you do.
Running away from his co-thieves, running away from Maximus, who's the best detective.
Running away from his problems.
Well, yes. That's implied.
With a couple of creative uses of frying pans and then also deceiving Mother Gothel, Rapunzel enlists him into taking her to the big city.
Yeah. Right? She's all like, I will give you back your crown, which I have totally cleverly hidden, if you take me to the city and back. To see the stars. And he's like, the floating lanterns. And she's like, to see the floating lanterns.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
Is it in that pot? Whack it, punk.
I have to say that Flynn Rider must have broken every goddamn bone in his body.
Listen. Yep. I cannot believe he does not have some sort of brain damage by the end of this film. And all I can say is she likes him pretty.
Yes, she does. and off they go. And of course, I think the little wee having fun adventure. Oh my God, I'm the worst person ever. Bits are cute and fun.
They're cute and fun, and also really indicative of indicative is the wrong word, but I think a really
accurate portrayal of,
yes, thank you,
of someone who's
been emotionally abused their entire lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm clearly the awful one, or wait, this is so much fun. Oh God, what have I done?
Yep.
I've hurt her feelings so much. She'll know. I'm clearly the person who's at fault here for being happy to be out of the fucking tower I've been in for 18 years. Like, yeah, there's a lot of sort of deep stuff going on.
Yep.
And in the words of John Mulaney, we don't have time to unpack all of that.
Relevant job, m'lady. It's not a true episode of the podcast if we don't fit that in.
Yes.
I was going to say, welcome to No Story is Sacred, where we will fit in a John Mulaney reference.
And so, they basically have like their own little countryside adventure along the way.
They meet some lovable, some actual lovable rogues. Yep.
The law chases them.
Oh man.
The law did not win.
Ooh, yeah.
They befriended the law.
So they both won in the end.
Rapunzel's just so sweet. She befriends everybody.
Yep.
The ruffians, the horse.
Again, making this depressing, I'd like to point out that in emotionally abusive relationships, it's oftentimes people gain a higher empathy and the ability to bring other people to your side as a protective thing. Just putting that out there, making things depressing. Go on, everybody.
How dare you bring feelings into my Disney movie?
So eventually, through shenanigans, or not shenanigans, just through adventure, they make it to the city.
There's an underwater level. It's wild.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of have the...
I was about to say, with a really nice introduction to Flynn of her and the audience of her various magical powers.
Yes.
And also, oh, Mother Gothel, learning Rapunzel's escape, pursuing them. I'm trying to do the... you're a horrible person, and you're going to... And he's going to betray you.
Yeah, Mother knows best.
Mother knows best. A terrible and amazing song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just so visually beautiful.
Oh, yep. It is. And there's so many levels to it, too. Pip, I'm certain you've read the discourse regarding touch in that scene. We see that Mother Gothel withholds touch from her constantly until the very end of the song. And then she reinforces, you get to touch me now that you've agreed that Mother knows best.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I'm not letting go of this one. Go on, though. Talk about your happiness.
They make it to the city. They have a festival. Yay. They dance.
Yeah, there's a big festival to celebrate the princess's birthday, who's been missing for 18 years.
Weird.
blonde and mysterious, has big blue eyes. Someone, you know?
Big green eyes, I believe.
Yeah. Big eyes.
But Rapunzel gets her hair braided, and there's flowers put in it, and she does talk art, and she gets all the villagers to dance, and she and Flynn have, you know, some moments, or like, maybe something will happen.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. And then we get to the night lights, right?
Oh, that's so pretty, too.
And actually, I don't know if you guys saw this in theaters. It was breathtaking in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't see it in theaters. Now I wish I had.
Maybe they'll do a re-release sometime.
Imagine watching that in IMAX. Just whoosh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm certain that it's going that there's a theater somewhere. Or that ship who's movies again.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's with Disney. They'll do re-releases or some shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, give it another 5 years. Yeah.
No, 5 years is when they do the live action.
So, yeah, they have their equivalent of the... was it the kiss the girl scene in Little Mermaid? It's a classic Disney moment in the middle of the movie, so you know things are about to go down.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to do something secret and clandestine. I can actually just be a proper aunt and tell you. I don't know why I have to be all cloak and dagger about this.
I mean, she knew he was a thief, so he goes off to return the crown.
Yeah, Rapunzel gives it to Flynn as a show of trust because they've, you know, gotten to know each other and she knows he's not going to go running away with it. He sees his former compatriots who are there to clearly cause trouble.
He feels bad about it.
So he's just going to give them the crown. They can do what they want with it. And he's going to go back to Rapunzel, except then he gets knocked out. Yep. My mother Gothel.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
She hired the former allies of Flynn. Whoa. Dun, dun, dun.
So then they, you know, tie Flynn up, which, you know, it's a common theme in this movie.
Pippin. Child's movie.
They did it.
Tie him up, strap him to a boat.
Oh, God.
Go, see, he's over there.
Leaving you.
Don't look too hard. Or no, it's the fact that he's being oddly still and steering that boat.
And somehow hasn't crashed the boat into the river or anything, you know? Just, he's piloting it straight forward, which is, for Flynn, weird.
Because he can't do anything straight. I said it.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay, legit, though. I see you, Pip.
But the mother Gothel there defeats the two ruffians.
Mm.
Totally legit. And takes her back.
She's like, see, Rapunzel, the world is dark and cruel, but it's okay. I'll take you back.
She also invites Rapunzel to give her a hug. As Rapunzel has been trained earlier in the film, as we have seen, that is a moment for her to realize that, yes, Mother knows best. What she is telling Rapunzel is the truth, obviously, right?
Ha. And so we go right off to the conclusion land, right?
Conclusion land.
We have Flynn arrested. Rapunzel's in the tower. It's looking dire.
Oh, but wait. He may be arrested, but she's not waiting for him to rescue her. She's lying back on her bed, and then she makes a connection.
Wait a moment. Flower symbology, sun symbology. I've been subconsciously drawing it all over the place.
Those lanterns were for me.
Those books on psychology are paying off.
that book on psychology.
The single one. The single one that she's been reading. She notices the repeating motif from the royal family's motif of the sun slash flower. And she has been subconsciously repeating it over and over and over again throughout the entire tower and all of her art. And she's like, oh, shit. Maybe life's not supposed to be this way.
No one told you life was going to be this way.
I admit I was attempting to lead to that direction, and I appreciate that you all went with it.
I was trying very hard to resist.
Don't resist. Never resist, Al.
Resistance is futile.
So she starts resisting. Good. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, old Flynn gets broken out of jail by
the actual lovable rogues.
Yep.
And the horse.
And Maximus.
And he dashes to Rapunzel's side because he's not a bad guy.
and then promptly gets stabbed.
Oh, yeah. Like, if anyone should be able to distress here, it's Flynn Rider.
And you know what? He agrees with that. And he appreciates that you've noticed his efforts.
Thanks.
He's the prettiest damsel in distress. With a normal-looking nose.
So he's dying.
Oh, yeah. Mother Gothel stabbed him, in case that's not clear.
Yeah. And Rapunzel is, I guess, willing to sacrifice freedom in order to be able to go and not have him die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, we get to the, like, climactic bit of the movie, right? The fact that he ain't gonna be like, no, you're not gonna spend the rest of your life imprisoned. Cut. Basic haircut. Yay.
Yeah, he just takes his shard of a mirror, because there's a broken mirror, because Rapunzel's world is shattered.
Nice.
Ha!
What? And just chops off all of her hair, because when her hair is cut, it loses all of its power, which is established twice.
Including its healing power.
And then, immediately, like, Mother Gothel pretty much has a Indiana Jones style instantly turn old and then to dust death.
She was pretty much just made of magic star her dust at that point, so like there was nothing left.
Nope. And Pascal tripped her out the window, just, you know, to add it all.
Of course.
Malice he's to the it. Best.
Well, also, just Rapunzel doesn't have to watch as the person who was her mother for 18 years, you know, crumbles into dust.
Yes. That's why Pascal did it.
Listen, one way or another, he's an ally, and I support him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Flynn dies.
Yep.
Yeah. He wasn't lying at the beginning.
But it's revealed that where was the magic all along?
Inside her. Oh. Tear ducts.
Yes. Yes. The magic healing tear.
It turns out that magic in this universe is shared via bodily fluids. And no regrets. And yeah, she cries on him and magic. Oh, you know what that means, though? If magic tears exist in her universe, that means that she is also in the same universe as Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Thank you.
Huh? Oh, seems legit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep. Which, as we all know, is actually France, which means that Arendelle and Frozenland exist.
Well, you also know the theory that the downed ship that Ariel visits in Little Mermaid.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, sorry. Go on.
So, yeah, then Flynn is not dead anymore because magic. Mm-hmm. And then they live happily ever after.
Yay.
They get married and they make out. The end.
Yeah. Not necessarily in that order.
Definitely not in that order.
Hi. Well, it's implied that they date for years before they get married.
Yeah, which I appreciate. Like, good for you, girl. You think through your options real long and hard.
Well, I have never watched a Tango TV show. I feel like I should. Because I feel like I would enjoy it. But I think one of the things is that they very deliberately do not get married early. Like, they have the option. They know they do. But they're like, let's wait.
All I know is that there's a, I've seen the clip where they do get married, and she just goes for the kiss. And there's, like, a close-up of her parents being very uncomfortable with the knowledge of their child's sexuality.
Well, they've only known her for, like, I'm guessing at that point, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your baby likes it pretty. What can we say? I mean, apparently.
Yeah. Friend presents her to the royal family. Like, no, literally no other proof that she's her child. Other than and the fact that Disney at this point had a bit of a problem with same face with female characters. But that's a different story. But, you know, they accepted her. And, you know, there was no need to call the royal geneticist. But no,
I'm here, sir. Hold on. Let me just check. Oh, yep. She has the phenotypes. We're all good here.
Jesus. I wasn't expecting you to actually pull out phenotypes. I should have.
That was beautiful.
You don't know me well enough, do you?
Whoa. Oh, God.
It's happening.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's the movie. Story there. Man.
Yeah.
Woo.
Abuse and magic. And frying pans.
Frying pans.
Mm. Frying pans are the important takeaway.
It is.
Number one weapon in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes the number one weapon, remember?
Yep.
Because Maximus, as part of his storyline, the horse dog, becomes head of the royal guard and trains everyone in the art of frying pan.
Yeah.
And it's super effective. So, we've talked about the story. I think we should talk about what we would do with it. What kind of additions or changes or just
stealing
just
it?
What kind of things we? Yeah.
Because I do think that this is an excellent story. I think they did a really good job with it. I think it does a lot of really complicated things for an audience that really needs to have those kind of complicated stories told in this kind of way. So I just want to steal it.
Go for it.
Oh, hooray. The thing I want to steal is, I think I mentioned it way back in my introduction. There was discourse for a little, I don't mean capital D discourse, but discussion for a little while on the topic of children in towers. You know, there was a couple conversations like on Tumblr. And using the phrase children in towers as shorthand for the complexity of trauma narratives, particularly when it comes to emotional or child abuse or things like that. When people who have experienced that have to look back on their lives and then try to communicate to others, it's like, yeah, this was terrible, but it wasn't all bad. I can look back on my childhood and find happy things. And I can find meaning.
She creates great art.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the other thing. Here's where it gets really weird and interesting. People are like, how can you possibly love, you know, the evil witch? Well, I mean, this is the evil witch that knows what Rapunzel's favorite soup is. Somebody had to teach Rapunzel how to paint and how to do art. She goes out and specifically gets, like, her favorite paints. Like, they have, like, it's toxic. It's a problem. But there are these things, and that's really, really difficult to communicate, particularly if you're an artist or an author or whatever, trying to do the balancing act between, you know, this terrible world. And this is an awful relationship, mm-hmm. but it's one that Rapunzel clearly, at least for much of her life, treasures. And part of the healing process for Rapunzel is going to be in the future regaining those good moments. Because you have, like, you know, when she has the realization that, Gothel was fucking awful, it's important that she'd have that. It's important that she have the moment of, like, you know, gosh, fuck you. But to completely trash her entire childhood wholesale is something that is also not healthy. You do have to look back and be able to find the things that were worthwhile and were good.
Yeah. So what would you steal then? Or what do you do with that narrative?
I really want to, okay, so confession. I think Fran Wilde is an author who, has already beat me to the punch on this one. She has a book coming out in, a couple months maybe, called Riverland, which is literally about this topic. It's about finding the magic, finding the goodness, or dealing with, this sort of traumatic childhood. That being said, as we often talk about on this podcast, everybody's story is different. I would really like to write a story like that. I would, or something that tries to communicate this very complicated idea to people who maybe haven't had this experience. I think it's, you know, it's really hard, but I think it's really important, and I think it's something that not a lot of people talk about. Although, if you want another example, I think that, Dodie Smith's I Capture the Castle is another good one for that. But yeah, that's what I'd want to steal, like, wholesale, is that concept.
All
right. Like, what do you think the complex grief she was having that? Because, like...
Oh, shit.
Because her mother did just die.
I think everything that she went through at the beginning when she first left, I think she's going to go through again.
For years. And I think, actually, that's a valid reason for her not to have married for years. Aside from all the good reasons not to do it.
Yeah, because also, quick aside, how old is Flynn?
21? Yeah, 20s. Sure. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
He could be early 20s, which, I mean, a four-year difference isn't really that weird.
If they wait to get married.
Yeah.
And also,
which
notably,
they clearly do.
Also, notably, he's got his own childlike problems. I mean, he grew up in an orphanage. We already got that established. There are so many reasons why I love this movie. It establishes, like, that it's not as creepy as it could be. All sorts of things. It's great.
Mm. Cool.
All right. I've got something that kind of jumps off of Cats.
Ooh.
Okay.
And changes Tangled. And part of the narrative, and a common narrative, in stories is finding your real parents, and the people who gave birth to you are your real parents, and they're the ones who are going to love you.
Mm.
And the person who is not biologically related to you, but who maybe raised you, is the bad one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for, like, adoptive parents, maybe that's not a great narrative.
What?
So what if it was something where, you know, Mother Gothel wasn't evil? She wasn't using the flower to for her own selfish gain. Maybe she was just straight up actually protecting it.
Ooh.
And as much as I like Rapunzel's parents, what if they were evil?
Dun, dun, dun.
And greedy. So maybe Mother Gothel doesn't kidnap Rapunzel, because that's still bad. If she somehow gains guardianship of her, or she's like, if they put her in the tower and Mother Gothel somehow still gets in, and then she can be the adoptive parent who's the good one. And your biological parents, you can reject if they're bad to you. And just sort of flipping that part of the narrative, because there's not enough stories for adoptive parents.
Are you thinking more of Gothel more along the lines of the witch from Into the Woods, then?
No, because she was still bad.
Oh, okay.
Although, technically she was punishing wrongdoing. I'm just going to point that out. That Rapunzel's parents were fucking thieves, I'll say it. Stealing her greens. She had very clear boundaries, and they violated them. As I believe the song goes into some detail about.
And into the Witch of Into the Woods defense, while she was still awful and shouldn't have done it, she seemed to have very clearly loved Rapunzel. Whereas I'm not sure in Tangled if Mother Gothel actually loved Rapunzel.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So, just because you love them does not forgive abuse.
No.
Nope. But it just makes it harder for the kids in therapy later.
But yeah, so, you know, it's always the evil, wicked old witch and the real parents who are going to take you away from all of this. But sometimes where you start out from is the bad situation.
The bad place?
Yes. You know, maybe your adoptive parents are better. Maybe you need to find your own family. And yeah, so that's what I think.
Love it.
So mine is completely different, not to springboard off of either of you.
But rude, our springboard's the best.
So I'm going back to basics here with the very first thing that we're introduced to in this story. The fact that the sun can have little droplets of power be falling onto the earth and all that, that's going to create some weird power dynamics in this fantasy realm. At least I think, because these things can be dropping all the time for all we know, and maybe it has different powers every single time.
Oh my
god. Did the moon drop fall on Elsa?
Maybe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I was going to get to that. That could have been either the justification for the frozen powers, or we're going to have werewolves. I don't know. Maybe both.
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 Both is good. Both is good.
Because the thing I'm imagining is now you have these various fantasy kingdoms vying for control of like various items and people that have had like this literal drop of magic fall into them in this world.
Umbrella Academy.
I want to talk to you about the sun drop initiative.
The sun drop initiative. No, I love
the dewdrop initiative.
I was about to say the dewdrop. Dancing through the dewdrops. Da 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 da.
No,
because clearly Rapunzel has like the holy healing magic. I mean, that's always cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But maybe somebody else has like wicked sick fire magic.
I mean, wait, I think it would be the Apple Initiative for Snow White, and all the princesses are a part of it.
Yes.
Okay. Wait, who's Samuel Jackson?
Guys, if you consider fucking the one with the troll in it as a Disney movie, that means Princess Fiona is the Hulk. Thank you. That's my entire... That's everything.
The one with the ogre in it.
Shut up.
A.K.A. Shrek.
Is a DreamWorks movie.
Correct.
I don't care. I'm putting her in there. I want her there.
That's my secret, Belle. I'm always... What's the main character? What's a defining character trait of DreamWorks films?
funny.
I'm always raising up one eyebrow over the other.
Okay, but if we want to get the other Disney things in there, I mean, we have Lilo, who has alien companions.
Oh, we have a Hawkeye. We have a Hawkeye.
We do have a Hawkeye.
We do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Guys.
Aha! I want to tell you about the Apple Initiative.
That's amazing.
And the plot of Kingdom Hearts 4.
Boom. Should have been the plot of Kingdom Hearts 3. Just saying.
Wait a minute. But you guys, you realize we also already have a built-in, like, villain squad, too. Because isn't it actually canon that it was, like, in one of the weird afternoon Disney shows that, like, all the villains get together at, like, a club or something like that?
The House of Mouse's House of Villains?
Yeah. It's like we already have, like, the League of Evil Mutants. I
mean. Well, you also have their descendants, too. That's a popular franchise.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So, are we all in on this? I think we're all in on this one.
Yeah.
Does this have both versions of Maleficent? And are we now talking about Once Upon a Time, the TV series?
No.
I don't know enough about that to adequately diss it.
Anyway, Brian, we derailed your thing.
I derailed it myself.
Take initiative. You do that.
The initiative.
Right.
Who's that leave? Anybody?
Alex.
Cool.
So, you know that thing we were joking about at the start?
Which thing?
About,
we joke about many things.
About the, Tangle of Frozen Fury. And I made a joke about, whatever country this is going to war with Arendelle.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Let's fucking do this.
Yes.
Okay, so, we've got, Rapunzel. She learns that her tears, heals death. So, she learns how to utilize it. She creates an immortal army.
Zombie army!
Yeah. And...
Good lord.
And during the...
I'm sorry, Brendan's good lord is the funniest fucking thing that's happened this entire podcast.
Yeah, right? Right? And during the coronation of Elsa of Arendelle, she and Finn were there. We see her, briefly.
That's true.
So, you know what fucking happened? Flynn was out on the beach and got frozenated. And so...
Frozenating the countryside.
And now, Rapunzel is swearing revenge.
I also like how this is a really good example of the different things you can do with stories. Just, Alex, you're doing a, you know, you're sequelizing it. Brendan's diving deeper into the world building. I'm using you and I are both using themes, right?
Mm.
Yeah. But different ones. Sorry, I just wanted to pop in there being like, hey, aren't we clever and awesome? Go on.
Yeah.
If we do say so ourselves.
And you too, audience, you too can utilize these very methods.
Yeah. Yeah, because, listeners, at the time of this recording, the Frozen trailer doesn't show what's going on. We just know that Elsa is training. And now we know what she's training for.
Oh, shit, I do love that.
She's training across an ocean. What do we know is across an ocean? Fucking Rapunzel Land. Mm-hmm.
Rapunzel's Army of the Damned.
Yes! Oh, my God! But also, like, what has she been doing to herself to make herself cry these, like, tears of magic? Like, so she is, like, self-flagellating in a tower. Her husband's, like, Whoa. Being like, you know, please come out. This isn't worth it. She's like, I must avenge. Turns out she's been talking to his crazy ghost. Oh, my God.
Yeah. At this point in her, she's got tears of blood going on.
Oh, my God.
This is getting so dark.
Right?
You love it.
Would she make Mother Gothel, like, a banshee, like, specter.
Just her hood is just floating around.
Oh, my God. And then you have to wonder, is it real, or is it actually, or is she, like, just so traumatized from her place in both her childhood and from her role in her mother's death that she's just, like, seeing it all the time? And she keeps hearing Mother Gothel's voice telling her, mm-hmm. Mother knows best, right? You should have remembered. Mother knows best. Just this constant whisper over and over.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Pascal's like, I don't know what fuck to do anymore, man. I need to get out.
This is fucked up right here.
Only so many funny colors you can turn before you have to admit you do not know what to do here.
Pascal is trying to be supportive, but at what point is his support... When's he enabling her?
I mean, he's tripped like 47 guards out of that tower. Eventually, Pascal catches on.
You know, and then, of course, you get into whole, like, theories of you know, how abuse is generational. So what's she doing to Pascal? Or, God forbid, any children she might have had with Flynn?
Oh, no. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh. Wait, do you think any of her children inherited powers?
Of course.
Well, wait, that's... Now we have to... Can we get the geneticist back out here? Is this
Bring the royal geneticist!
I do believe that magical sun powers are a dominant gene, as you may have noticed that it dominated over the parents' genetic makeup when Rapunzel was born.
However, I am wondering whether or not this is a teratogenic change and will not pass on to the next generation.
Bring the royal biologist!
Different voice, different voice.
Go, go!
Hello! I am Hingleberry, the royal biologist. Hingleberry.
Dingleberry, come on.
Aren't you so glad you're taking those improv lessons?
Royal biologist, didn't Rapunzel gain the power? I'm absorbing the flower during the...
In utero.
In the utero, who freed the placenta?
What's a placenta?
This is medieval times. Let's use leeches.
Medieval times, grab the turkey legs.
Wait, are the leeches now... imbued with
magic.
Golden hair.
Good question.
Are these magical leeches? Fuck. Where does the rabbit hole go?
All the way down. It's turtles all the way down.
Guys, this is way too much fucking fun. We gotta rein it in. This,
what I'm getting from this is we should do Disney movies more often.
Apparently. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go.
Oh, we made the royal biologist feel unwelcome.
What happened?
He blacked out for a moment.
Missed it.
I had to enter a fugue state sometimes. It's okay.
The wizard state.
The wizard, yes.
Man. All right, guys. Have we killed this yet?
I think we killed
it. I think we've thoroughly killed it.
Good job, us.
Frickin' Army of the Dead.
I fucking love that. That was beautiful.
I'm mad how Alex always comes in last moment to be the fucking best of us.
It's either go big or go home, guys.
You know, that's true.
I mean, I thought I was going to have like a little rigor with werewolves, but no.
He saw your werewolves and raised you Army of the Dead.
Yep. All right. So do we have time for a game?
A game?
Let's do
a
this.
A game
of life?
So how about we do Explode All the Things? We haven't done that one in a while, and I think we're in a proper garbage person state of mind right now.
Speak for yourself.
Fair.
But Pippin, you are.
You don't talk to me or my dumpster ever again.
How's Matt Murdock doing in there?
Wow.
I don't know. I'll have to ask Hawkeye.
Oh. So wait, Brent, can you tell us what this game is all about?
We're going to take a good plot and make it worse with one simple change.
Right. And I believe I will go first.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Absolutely do it.
Mother Gothel, Redemption.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. You feel just ugh with that one, don't you?
Yeah. Because then she's like, I was wrong all along. And then you're stuck with just how hideously abusive the whole situation was. With no fixing. It makes it seem okay to the audience. Ugh.
And I'll just be in this tower now, and you can visit anytime. Bye.
Remember, I love you most. Alex, why?
We make it worse. We explode all the things.
We did tell him to do it.
We did. It was my fault.
Why did we not listen to the warnings?
There were signs.
I can raise you, and I can also ruin you.
Okay, I got a simple one.
Okay,
okay,
yeah, not as dark as Alex's. In this one, Eugene is not horrible at everything. He actually drives the plot forward in his standard, boring storytelling.
Oh, he actually comes in and saves the day at the end.
Yes,
and he just arrow flings it.
Yep.
Aha.
Yeah. No fire, a frying pan even. It's a sword. It's swinging from chandeliers, which is, you know, fun in its own way, but not for this story.
I did appreciate how Finn goes to rescue Rapunzel and,
like, promptly fucking fails.
Got through the window and immediately stabbed.
Yeah.
I'm here to save you. Ow.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, shit.
I feel like, were it not for the fact that I think this covers it, I think that a related point to that, and I'm not counting this as my own, to that is Flynn being the driving force entirely for Rapunzel's rescue.
Yeah. That's actually what I was
trying
to get at, so, yeah.
Yeah, so it takes away all of Rapunzel's agency and makes it about a fucking dude, and, oh, now I feel sick to my stomach about this one.
Nah.
How can you be an optimist about this?
Pip, what do you got?
I've got a really simple one.
Okay.
If the animals talked.
Ooh.
Oh, that's unnecessary.
Oh,
right?
No.
Yeah,
I'm not here to break anybody's heart. I'm just saying, that'd be obnoxious.
It would. It would make it a demonstrably worse film, though.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
Very simply.
Yeah. Oh, God. What if it was like a character actor or like a comic? Like a bunch of famous comics?
Oh, who's
Dane Cook as Maximus the Horse?
Ooh.
Steve Harvey as the Chameleon.
Although, that was back in 2010, so it'd be like something really bad now.
It would be Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. God. Would be Pascal.
Oh, God.
Louis C.K. and T.J. Miller together.
That's so gross. I can't. Oh, and then, of course,
and they would be having their own weird rivalry in the background, drawing focus.
Yep. Oh, Jesus, that's terrible. Oh.
It's no Mother Gothel redemption arc, but...
Yeah, I mean, Mother Gothel redemption arc is still, I think, the worst at the moment.
Yep.
So, Kat, do you think you can,
I think match? I can beat that? match, even? Got or let alone beat. Shit. I'm trying to think here. Okay. I'm gonna do a weird one. So you know how, remember Batman movies? You know how Batman movies, for whatever fucking reason, have two villains?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. I'm gonna add an extra villain. Not just Mother Gothel. Girdle or whatever the fuck her name is. Gothel.
Mama G.
And I don't just mean in terms of, like, the lesser baddies of, you know, Flynn's whatever. Because they were, you know, they were entertaining chess pieces.
Henchmen.
Yeah.
They were henchmen. You know, spear carriers, that kind of thing. But a legitimate extra bad guy. So, for instance, a real villain opposed against Flynn.
Hmm.
Not Maximus, but an actual guy out to get him in a really negative and willing to do the wrong things to do it.
Javert.
So you'd have to add extra scenes of him threatening the guards, you know, and if you don't find the Flynn Rider, I'll have your heads, and then we see a head in a jar or some shit. And then eventually you'd have the two villains, like, striking up together, and maybe they're gonna betray each other. So basically it's this entire unnecessary plot. It's again the sin of pulling focus, but a different one.
Side note, everyone keeps betraying those two guys that Flynn was working with, and I'm like, how long does it take for them to realize it's a them thing?
Because they don't hang out with the lovable rogues in that shop.
In that bar. Yeah.
They clearly need friends. Maybe that's what happens to them now.
Oh, they get to have a redemption arc.
I'd be okay, because they're like siblings, aren't they?
Yeah, brothers.
Yeah, and they did trust Flynn. Like, Flynn's the one who fucked that up.
Yeah,
true.
They were all in an honest business arrangement. And he
of crime.
What? Yeah, well, yes. But then he's the one who decided to double cross them. And frankly, I think that they had legitimate, you know what? They did not need, like, they had no idea that Mother Gothel was a fucking, you know, gonna betray them. And they actually just keep trusting people. Is that actually a sin? I mean, maybe not wise in their line of work, but is that legitimately a problem? I think that they do need a redemption arc.
Our biggest weakness is that we trust too easily.
And I've got this thing with my arm, but that's a different thing. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the reason that the hench guys aren't this extra thing is because, yeah, they actually, aside from being, we don't know anything about them. They're just auxiliary minion type things. But even in their auxiliary-ness, within the realm of who they are as people, they're acting reasonably. You know, it makes sense that they're fucking pissed off at Flynn, you know?
I mean, they've spent 5 minutes in his company.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was an unreasonable actor, if it was way over the top villainy.
The High Chancellor.
Yeah, or if the Captain of the Guard had taken over, you know, Maximus took over most of the Captain of the Guard's actual search for Flynn. But imagine if the Captain of the Guard was actually, like, super evil. Oh, do you guys remember the Zorro movie with Antonio Banderas?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
You remember the blonde Confederate captain or whatever the fuck he was?
Who kept heads in jars?
Yes, him. Imagine that guy. Opposite Mother Girl. It just would have taken away from the whole story. It draws focus, just like the comedy thing, but in a different way.
Cool.
So that's how I would have ruined it. It's still not as good as Alex's. God damn it, Al.
God damn it. So yeah, Tangled. That was fun.
Yeah.
I like Tangled, man. Yeah.
I just like Disney movies. I'm a simple girl of simple pleasures.
Yeah, I think Tangled kicked off kind of the latest run in good movies they had, right?
I'd have to look at the timeline.
Yeah, I think that was one that, like, said, oh, hey, the 3D animation movies that aren't Pixar can be good.
Well, also, I think that isn't there also a thing with the fact that the animals don't talk? And we see that again going into Frozen.
Hmm. Huh.
Thus saving it from.
The snow talks, the rocks talk.
Oh. Those are
but
different.
Sven doesn't,
and that's what I'm hanging my hat on.
Even though reindeers are better than people.
I feel like that's a song.
It is.
It is. It's the only one that Tony Award nominated Jonathan Groff sings in that song, in that movie. It lasts for a minute. Not even. Aww. It's like a 30-second song.
Aww.
And he ventriloquizes is Sven's lines.
Oh, that's right. Oh, Groff sauce. All right, guys. I think that we handled that one. We ready to sign out?
Yeah,
I think so. I'm ready to leave this tower.
Now it's when my life begins.
Wow.
Fight me.
Okay. Well,
I'll fight you with a frying pan.
Yeah. So while Pip's doing that, audience, as always, if you have a as always, fuck you, Pip. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred or send an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex McDonald, Brendan McDonald, Pippa McDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. And by the way, I do actually intend, maybe even this week, maybe next week, who knows, to put up an audio telling of, what did I read? The Lady or the Tiger for our Patreon subscribers for downloading. You can hear my melodious voice read it out loud.
And not my voice.
Next time, biologist.
Royal biologist.
See you next time when we talk about Terry Pratchett's Guards, one of the Discworld books. Until then, where no story is sacred and any story can be changed. I'm Kat.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Pippin.
And I'm Alex.
And we're...
And I'm the royal biologist.
And all of us are... No story is sacred.